Okay, the next case is Benford versus Jones Benford, case number 74649. Mr. Goodman, are you ready to proceed?
I am, thank you. Ross Goodman, bar number 7722, it may please the court. The crux of this appeal with respect to the receivership issue in a divorce case is that the lower court abused her discretion by appointing a receiver where there are no assets, monumental debt in the form of civil judgment, taxes due of over $1 million because the parties never filed tax returns, no active businesses, no stock brokerage accounts or other funds to preserve or supervise, and with no present ability from either party to pay for a receiver. Pamela, who was a respondent, testified at the hearing, we've made $1 million or millions of dollars and never paid taxes or filed returns during the marriage. Vassal Benford, who's the appellant and divorcing party in this case, has not worked since 2016, where he earned approximately $4,000 on producing the film before the project went into bankruptcy. Since moving from L.A. to Las Vegas in 2016 to take care of his father had passed. Vassal then started experiencing significant health issues. He was put in the hospital and diagnosed with atrial fibrillation and under physician's instructions not to work, and has not worked since 2016. The bank foreclosed on his house. The royalties earned from his production businesses have been garnished from the IRS and California Franchise Tax Board, the majority of which were earned in the 90s before the marriage. In this context, the district court stated Vassal is, quote, it's getting older and he doesn't have the same clout or pull or connections he used to have, and that, quote, there are all kinds of reasons why someone of his background may not be making the kind of money. There was a March 31st, 2017 evidentiary hearing both on personal jurisdiction of the third party in this case and the receiver. Ron LeBeau, who's the third party, was Vassal's lawyer who practiced and worked in L.A.
And I just want to clarify, yes, before you proceed. You're representing both Mr. Benford and Mr. LeBeau?
I am, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
So I represent both appellants, or both parties who are appellants for the purposes of this appeal.
Right.
Is the claim against Mr. LeBeau limited to the deck relief and in so-called injunctive relief claim in the third-party claim? That's all the claims that there are against
correct,
Mr. LeBeau?
Correct, Justice Pinkery. Yes, and that's significant you point that out, because there are no tort claims. There is no conspiracy,
right,
to commit fraud or theft or other types of issues, which I think you're going to hear from the respondent argued throughout the briefs and at the hearing. But at the March 31st, 2017 evidentiary hearing, the court actually said this, quote, you explain to the court, how do I divorce people where their money is being held by someone that I have no jurisdiction over unless I join them? Predecessor counsel, who was Jim Jimerson at the time, said, you presume, but that's not evidence. The court continues, quote, I can hardly wait for the appellate court or the Supreme Court to tell me again that I should have joined another person because I just got reversed. I told you last time we were here, Mr. Jimerson, I understand. The court, honestly, I'm not going to let this guy out unless you can tell me how I divorced two people whose money is being held somewhere else. Tell me, because I really want to know. Respondent's counsel at that hearing recognized that this joining of Mr. LeBeau, a non-resident, was an out-of-state issue. Quote from respondent's counsel, I'm licensed there, but it's a California issue. I'm in the process of figuring that out. It appears that I'm going to file something in California, end quote. At the end of that March 31st, 2017 hearing, the lower court found, rightfully, there's no jurisdiction over the LA lawyer to join him in a divorce case, and quashed the third-party complaint for declaratory relief and injunctive relief. Shortly thereafter, Jim Jimerson withdrew as counsel for Ronald LeBeau, the L.A. lawyer, and Vassal Benford's counsel withdrew for nonpayment. Shortly thereafter, respondent filed a motion to set aside the March 31st, 2017 orders. And the only thing that the respondent attached to the motion to set aside, after there were no counsel present now for either appellant, and after the evidentiary hearing had been had, were bank records for Mr. LeBeau's trust account, showing a one-time wire in 2016 of $300,000 from a Florida investor. But in their motion to set aside, they misrepresented to the lower court that these bank records showed $2.5 million, which they were trying to argue were income.
And it's the lawyer's IOLTA account in California, correct?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
It's the lawyer's IOLTA account in California.
Correct.
So they're asserting that because a lawyer has funds in an IOLTA account out of state.
Their argument, I believe, Your Honor, is that Mr. LeBeau is sheltering funds that's earned by Vassal Benford, even though Vassal Benford doesn't earn any money since 2016.
Right, and but that, let's say he did earn money.
Yes.
Would a lawyer's acceptance out of state of a pre-existing client's money in his IOLTA account subject that lawyer to in personam jurisdiction in Nevada? And if so, on specific jurisdiction, you need a claim that that relates to.
You do, Your Honor, and not one case, the respondent hasn't cited one case to suggest otherwise, and of course, that's the law. The statement of the law, as I know it, and cited by this court, the Piccoli case, the Trump case, and every other case that we cited, talks about you have to have purposeful availment. You have to take advantage of the Nevada forum, and nothing, and holding money, or if the court wants to get financial information from a third party who lives out of state, that is simply not a basis for PERC to exercise jurisdiction over that individual.
Well, maybe if there was, I don't know. I have another question, though, for you. Our law is you can't directly appeal an order denying a motion to dismiss on personal jurisdiction. You need to run a writ of prohibition, and that didn't occur in this case. That's troubling, too.
Yes, Your Honor. Justice, if I can address that, as we stated in the reply, the court has consistently allowed parties to challenge different portions of the same order when it promotes judicial efficiency or economy and avoids piecemeal appellate review. The policy is best served in this type of case where the lower court crossover intertwined issues finding a personal jurisdiction with the issue of receivership, which you're allowed to independently appeal, and we appealed that as well.
Well, are you interpreting the receivership order as putting the IOLTA account into receivership? I mean, what is...
Well, that's what the court said, Your Honor. Justice, here in Volume 11, base stamp 2624 to 2670, which is this 47-page decision that the court wrote 6 months later, she found that the court, quote, must have coercive power to ensure LeBeau turns over all information that's relevant to this divorce, which requires that Nevada have jurisdiction over the person of LeBeau. So she's making a connection that's not supported by law. She's trying to compel this information for the receiver, and therefore it requires that Nevada have jurisdiction over LeBeau.
But the receiver, the claim to appoint the receiver was as against Vassal.
No, it was against both, Justice Pickering. It was
okay.
Both against Vassal Benford, and because the claim by a respondent was that Vassal doesn't have any bank accounts because the IRS is garnishing his income because they haven't filed tax returns for the duration of their marriage, Ron LeBeau, the L.A. lawyer, is therefore holding and sheltering all the money there is. Put aside the fact that there's no evidence in the record, not one scintilla of evidence that there's any monies that LeBeau owes that's attributed to Vassal. Going back to your point, Your Honor, that even if there were evidence that LeBeau is holding monies attributed to the community property in any way, that is not a basis. That's not the standard in Nevada for personal jurisdiction.
Or as a matter of due process. I mean, that's the issue.
or as a matter of due process. And what's amazing to me is that they did not even assert a cause of action that would allow them to try and argue some sort of personal jurisdiction in Nevada. For example, conspiracy to shelter the money, fraud, and claiming, therefore, that that the Saul's activities in Nevada is as an agent for Ron LeBeau, and somehow, you know, make that connection. But in this case, there was no tort claim. I'll just go with 3 minutes left, Your Honor, because I just want to finish these 2 points. The lower court also compounded the error by saying that the only that she would not have changed her mind from after the evidentiary hearing on personal jurisdiction if LeBeau had cooperated. That, again, is not the standard for personal jurisdiction in Nevada. Putting aside the fact that LeBeau actually filed verified deposition answers, filed multiple declarations in this case, all unequivocally asserting he doesn't hold any money that's attributed to the community property, the level of cooperation is not a standard for purposeful availment in Nevada. Lastly, I'll finish by saying that this court took, the lower court took the unprecedented step, in my view, by attempting to certify a question in this court, which it can't do. But the nature of the question, I think, is important. Quote, does a court lack subject matter jurisdiction?
That's a non-starter. We can't
But
take a certified question like that.
I think this goes to the other findings that we just went over, where she says, basically she's saying that I don't want to divorce these parties, Nevada residents, the only forum where they can be divorced. If the court's going to reverse my decision on finding that there's no personal jurisdiction over LeBeau, that's how extreme these findings are in her opinion. And obviously, if that were the standard where you would create a new standard where you don't have to show the minimum contacts required, that any third party in any state or outside of Nevada that's a stockbroker, accountant, lawyer, anybody where one of the divorcing parties claims is holding money for them would then subject themselves to jurisdiction in Nevada. That, of course, is not a correct statement of the law. That is not the standard, and that's a violation of due process. I reserve my time. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Brad Hofflin. I'm part number 6343, and I represent the respondent. May it please the court. This was the second divorce action that was filed by the Benfords, and the initial action was dismissed for lack of jurisdiction. Ironically, the next day after the dismissal was filed, this action was filed by Vassell. After this action went into place, was going into place for quite some period of time, the issue came up regarding obtaining records, information from a third party that was not being provided through Vassell. That individual is brought into the case. After that individual is brought into the case, he first comes out through his counsel and says, I don't have any records, I don't have anything. All the money that I received is through the state of California. Subsequently, discovery was issued, which counsel's right, I'm licensed in both states. I've never done a written deposition before and knew what the process was in California. So, figured that out, filed in California, served Mr. LeBeau with the written deposition request. After he was served with the written deposition request, which was, he said he was going to cooperate and provide that information, avoiding process servers, avoiding this, avoiding that, he gets served, then responds to it. After he responds to it, he files his responses with the court. And his responses that he files with the court doesn't want to provide any information. They're very evasive. Every single question is evasive, doesn't provide the information. Go back to court after that. The court grants the motion to dismiss. And there's this issue regarding other documents that my client had in care, custody, and possession of these other documents. These other documents which she's had in the sitting throughout the papers is that, gosh, how can she have these documents? These documents, she can't do this. It's a crime to produce these documents. And we were directed to disclose those documents. We disclosed those documents through 16.2. There's no objection to the authenticity of those documents. Never was there any objection to any of those documents. All those documents, which those documents are part of the record, which show Mr. LeBeau's trust account. Mr. LeBeau's trust account has transactions in it which are handwritten. His handwritten notes, which are saying that all this money is going, and it's going for these different purposes, for the personal expenses of Mr. Benford and for others related at the direction of Mr. Benford. In the appendix, those documents are listed at 2101 through 2104, which show a $2.5 million business agreement, which is entered into about 20 days after the divorce action was filed in 2016. But the handwritten notes are on 2155 through 2158 and 2161 through 2162. Ironically, after that, which he said before that he had no money, we filed a motion for the court to reconsider and include Mr. LeBeau as a party based upon these documents and this evidence. The court grants our relief, filed the motion, no opposition.
You know, though, I'm troubled by a case where you're asserting specific jurisdiction based on an injunctive relief and deck relief prayer, which are essentially remedies, not causes of action. And I don't know what the claim is against the person who's being hailed into court in Nevada, or what specific acts that person did that purposefully availed himself of the privilege of doing business in Nevada that's relevant to those specific claims. If you could tell me that, that would be a huge help, because I'm not seeing it.
Thank you, Justice. First, we filed the proposed amended complaint, which we're given leave in which to file it and serve it on Mr. LeBeau. Mr. LeBeau never answered the complaint. We moved for default against Mr. LeBeau. There's actually, in this entire phase, we're at the default proven.
But your third-party complaint only asserts deck relief and injunctive relief, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And which we can amend it at this period of time or ask the court for relief in which to do so, in which we include a claim, what counsel says, for conspiracy. Judge Elliott went in great length through the 47 pages and has held out how these two parties were affiliated, and it's citing the Conspolia case. And in that case, which you're talking about the affiliation between Ron LeBeau and Vassell, which has been going on for 37 years. The affiliation which they've done and which to benefit Vassell during this period of time, which is for to use his attorney in California, in which to set up entities, set up accounts, and pay for all of his expenses. Vassell testified under oath in that March.
You could bring an action for an accounting in California against Mr. LeBeau.
Well, he's done more than that, Your Justice, is that he's gone ahead and he's been not only providing the accounting, but he tells us in response to the discoveries, he's not doing anything. He's not providing information. He says he's not holding any money. But he's conducted business here in Nevada. He did, at the T-Mobile Arena, they did an event for Monster, of which there is over $800,000 which came into Nevada, which they brought into Nevada. He's done other things.
But how does that relate to your claims against Mr. LeBeau?
Because he was intentionally here in Nevada doing business for in a partnership or doing it as a basis with Vassell in order for Vassell to carry out his activities. If it had not been for Mr. LeBeau, Vassell wouldn't have been able to carry out those activities here in Nevada. Everything that he was doing, all the contracts, he's making all the payments, he's representing people saying that he represents Mr. Salas, the person in a probate here in Nevada. He's sending out letters on that. And
how does Mr. Silas's probate in Nevada relate to your claim against Mr. LeBeau in this divorce action?
We're just showing that he has...
You're trying to make a general jurisdiction.
Yes, but we're making a specific jurisdiction on the other issues as well. And the other issues regarding the payment of the check for the house for the $81,000 through a Vassell, through his company, a TBC company, which is owned and controlled by Vassell. And that's being done through Ron. In essence, what he's saying is, gosh, I can put all this money into a trust account by an attorney. I can defraud the IRS. I can defraud the court. and I can defraud Ms. Benford. Nothing's going to happen because the money's over there. I'm not going to answer any discovery, which has been done by DeSalle.
I don't disagree with you that you're entitled to pursue discovery at all, but my concern is personal jurisdiction over LeBeau and whether or not you need to bring a separate action against LeBeau in California where he clearly is jurisdictionally present.
He's intentionally brought himself out here. He's purposely availed himself to this jurisdiction in which to be out here. If it weren't for knowing that DeSalle was going to be out here filing for divorce and doing all these actions out here in Nevada, DeSalle could not be in Nevada if it were not for LeBeau funneling money over here and providing all these abilities.
What is the, isn't there some evidence or is there some evidence about LeBeau paying housing-related payments for DeSalle? What's that about?
Yes, Justice. It's $81,000. There was this house that DeSalle's living in, and that was paid for by Ron LeBeau. There was an $81,000 cashier's check, which was given out, and the name of the cashier's check is to TBC, which is a company which is owned and controlled by DeSalle, which is being paid for by Ron LeBeau. DeSalle is able to do business out in Nevada. He's able to go to T-Mobile Arena and work out contracts in which to put together a huge concert. The other thing which is astonishing is that in regards to Ron LeBeau is that when he responds to the motion and he asks the court to set aside jurisdiction, he talks about this $2.5 million. And that, which is a document that wasn't provided by DeSalle. DeSalle did not give us any of this information. Ron LeBeau comes on and says, gosh, you can't have that information. I don't have it. By the way, they filed for bankruptcy over in Luxembourg. When the document was provided to the court, it shows the money went into a bank account in Florida. He's doing this to deceive everyone, intentionally.
Is Mr. LeBeau, or is there some assertion that Mr. LeBeau is doing legal work for DeSalle and that the money being held in the trust account is just, you know, I'm an attorney, so I may have money in the trust account for him?
We've asked questions in regards to that, and we've got responses to these. I guess, first, I can answer the question by saying what DeSalle said. DeSalle says that he does all this business transactions. DeSalle says that he does all this banking, that he hasn't touched a bank account, I believe, in about 37 years.
Right.
I mean, amazing. And that all this information goes through LeBeau. LeBeau, on the other instance, comes back and says, I don't hold any money for DeSalle. I don't have any information. Oh, I know about a couple of those companies, but no, I don't have that information. So it's one of these cat and mouse things is that you're never going to catch them. It's the property of the community estate that's being held. And all that property that's being held is by LeBeau, and LeBeau is secreting it. Under the Kogat case, they said all money which is earned during the marriage up until the date of divorce is community property. But we can't get that information. We try to get that information. We're being told that there's not that information. It's being done under our guise that there's this trust account that we can't touch. We don't know how many people that LeBeau is doing this for. We don't know how many people. We don't care. Only thing we care about is getting the information for our case.
What's the declaration or injunction you're seeking in your claims against LeBeau?
To provide the information so we can get the parties divorced.
So to get information regarding the parties' assets.
If he has other documents, is that whatever judgments against DeSalle would be against LeBeau as well, because I believe there was a co-conspiracy or agency theory in the complaint. I haven't looked at it in a while, but I'm sure that we can amend it. But all the information in this divorce action is in the hands of LeBeau. Without that information, they're saying that because people are rich or whatever, people have relationships with attorneys in another state, that this state can never touch and get people divorced because it can never be on top of that information. He's saying just because he has an attorney, the attorney can hide behind it and says, I don't have to provide that information. But if you look at the records that we produce in this case, it shows, quite clearly shows, that LeBeau, all the money, the community money is being placed in an account and being hidden. And there's this relationship between the two on which to deceive the IRS, my clients in the court, and creditors.
So, as I understand DeSalle's testimony was effectively any any income that he has goes to Ron and LeBeau and not to him, and any expenses of his that are paid by Mr. LeBeau and not by him.
Correct. And then it goes on further to say, stating there, even by the 47-page, Judge Elliott issued a 47-page decision, which was very thorough, quite thorough, and hit all the issues. She even makes the finding that he says, gosh, any money that went to my client during the marriage only received that money through LeBeau. So there's no money that was received directly to my client, which, again, it makes the admission to the fact that all the community money, whatever they are, is through Ron LeBeau. And the suggestion, I don't know if the suggestion hasn't worked since 2016. Well, he's done the Marvin Gaye project, which he says has gone bankrupt. But then Ron LeBeau says he doesn't have any documents, but he says, well, gosh, why are you going after this? Because that's going to bankruptcy, and they're owed $2.5 million plus $500,000. It's $3 million since the divorce action started. We've alleged in our papers, going through the trust account documents, which we said we provided, is that there's $1,042,000, which is in LeBeau's account, that has been accounted for. We believe that that's community property. My client's entitled to receive that money. We can't get the information.
Do you have any comment on whether this court has jurisdiction over the appeal at all?
I have the same concern, which should have been done, which I've raised in my papers, is that it should have been done by the means of a writ. We've done it before by means of a writ, but not by an appeal. We've raised that. We've got all their issues in regards to is that the timeliness of the appeal as well.
What do you say to your opposing colleague's claim that the receivership issue is so bound up with the personal jurisdiction issue that under Lewis and some of the recent cases involving contempt and other related issues, it should just be treated as one, and it's just standing on procedure to require a separate writ and then an interlocutory appealable order?
Well, yes, but no, because he's attacking the jurisdiction of bringing LeBeau into this action, and which is specifically required is that this court's made the rules require that a writ is filed. Bringing the two together in regards to the writ, which is the relief that we're seeking through the, for the receiver, those two are not combined because first we have the jurisdictions and receivership afterwards.
Well, but the receiver, do you agree with him that the receiver has power over Mr. LeBeau?
Yes, he has power over Mr. LeBeau in this action, correct.
So if this court didn't have personal jurisdiction over Mr. LeBeau, then how can the court give the receiver power over Mr. LeBeau?
And that's what he would have to do first. He would have to file a writ first to address the receivership, to address the personal jurisdiction. If he wanted to address the writ in that as well, he could have done so. That wasn't done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have 2 minutes and 25 seconds.
The if this is not a case where you have a writ for a personal jurisdiction issue along with an independent basis to appeal the receivership issue, and this doesn't promote judicial economy and avoid piecemeal appellate review, I don't know of another case that will, where the judge specifically found, I need to find personal jurisdiction over Mr. LeBeau so that I can compel information for him to give the receiver. You can't be any more intertwined than that. So to if the court is taking the position or the justices are taking the position you still need to file a writ, then I'll have to file a writ. But the court went out of her way to issue a 47-page written decision intertwining compelling information, turning over the information with personal jurisdiction. So much so, as I was saying before I sat down the first time, she took the unprecedented step of trying to certify that question to the court. Is her subject matter jurisdiction to divorce parties if an out-of-state person has information? I mean, it doesn't get more crossover than that, but I do have to address some issues. There's a lot of generalities here, but you have the record in front of you, and there's no $1.4 million in Mr. LeBeau's account that has any nexus to the Saul Bedford or to the community. There is a $2.5 million agreement from an investor to produce a film. They then, from Florida to LA, issue a one-time $300,000 payment, which is in the record, Ron LeBeau dutifully then disperses to people working on the LA project, of which $4,000 goes to Vassal Benford. That would be his income for 2016. Out of the rest of the money, it all went to people, the screenwriter, people working on the production. That's all in the bank records. Mr. LeBeau has many clients. And so to say that there's other monies coming in from different sources and just saying that's unaccounted for, that could be community property, belies credulity, or is not credulous.
Thank you, you're done.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
It's incredulous, okay.